We've been going through the series of the I Am's, the seven I Am's, of John, in the book of John. He identifies seven times where Jesus said, I am, and he would say, I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, those kind of I Am's. Okay, we're on the third one now. And this third one is kind of a unique one. He says, I am the door of the sheep. Now that's kind of linked with I am the good shepherd, because they go together all in the same chapter, the 10th chapter of the book of John. So if you want to turn there, that's where we're going to be this morning, John chapter 10. Okay, he says, so I am the door of the sheep. Now basically, the I am statement stresses that this one in particular states that no one can enter into the kingdom of God except through the door, and Jesus is the door. No one can get in. And we are the sheep, and his sheep know his voice, and they're going to know how to get through that door. Now, my question for you is, do you know the voice of the Lord, and do you know how to open the door to get into the fold of Jesus so that you are going to be protected in his loving arms? He is the only one and the only way to enter into the fold. It's the first verse of John. John chapter 10 says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. In other words, he's saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Jesus is the door. He's the only door. He's the door of the sheep. And sheep know his voice. So my next question is, do you know his voice? Because when he speaks, that's how we know where to go, and when we know to stop, and when we know to proceed, and when we know how to do things. And we need to learn how to hear his voice as we walk through this world. Every decision of our lives, we need to listen for the Father's voice. And Jesus will allow you to be able to hear it, if you will listen. So seven times, John records Jesus proclaiming himself to be, I am. And this constantly infuriates the Pharisees, because every time he says, I am, that's Yahweh. Yahweh. And they hear, that's all they hear. I am Yahweh, the door. I am Yahweh, the light of the world. I am Yahweh, the bread of life. And they say, who do you think you are in the first place? The Pharisees do not like it when Jesus says those things. And the people are hearing this, but they're not hearing it. But let me tell you, those Pharisees are hearing it. They're beginning to understand, this guy is proclaiming to be God, and that's blasphemous. You don't proclaim yourself to be God, the Pharisees are saying. We need to stone this man because he's proclaiming himself to be God. That fascinates me, that the religious people got it, but didn't get it. And the non-religious people didn't get it, but they're going to get it. It's like everybody's upside down. That reminds me of this world I'm living in today. Everything seems to be upside down. Wrong is right, and right is wrong. And our politicians don't understand it. Our churches don't understand it. People are not listening to what the Bible has to say. They're beginning to try to interpret for themselves life and how to handle life. You're not listening to the voice of the shepherd. Jesus will tell you when it's right, and Jesus will tell you when it's wrong. He is the good shepherd who's going to do that for us. And we need to learn how to listen to his voice. Because if we don't learn how to listen to his voice, we are going to fall into the pits. And we know how to get through the door, into the fold, to be protected. Well, I liked it when I said Jesus is the light of the world, because that's what makes us evangelists. Jesus is the light of the world, and when he comes into our lives, he begins to shine through us, and we begin to let everybody else know that Jesus is the light of the world. I like that. I like it when he says, I am the bread of life. Why do I like that? Because it tells me that he's going to give me the nourishment I need for my spiritual walk. I can live with him and I can walk with him. I know that he's going to nourish my soul. And as I read his word, I get excited. Do you get excited when you read his word? Well, first of all, you got to read his word. Because if you don't read his word, don't ever expect to get excited about it. If you have trouble reading his word, listen to it. Get the Bible on cassette or listen to a podcast of someone just reading scripture. Especially if you read books like the book of John. Most of it's red letters. And what do I mean by red letters? Most of it is Jesus talking. Like if you look at John chapter 10, mine's a red letter edition. Good grief, everything's red. Very few other words, words that you do see, are the Pharisees getting mad about the red letters. We need to understand that when Jesus talks, we need to listen. And when we read the red letters, Jesus is talking. And he's talking to us. He's talking to us about how we are to live our lives. And that is, we live our lives listening to the Holy Spirit, being guided by the Holy Spirit. You need to be guided when you go to the voting poll and vote. You need to be guided when you go to the car lot to buy a new car. You need to be guided when you sit down to write your checks. And I know most of you don't write checks anymore. But when you begin to pay your bills and how you spend your money. Because how you spend your money is determining where your priorities are in life. And Jesus is aware of how we choose our priorities. And you cannot let money become a favored part of your life. You've got to allow Jesus to be the favored part of your life. And you need to make sure that you're expressing to him in financial ways as well as physical ways how you care about him. Now, this isn't a sermon about money. This is a sermon about you listening and hearing the voice of the shepherd, because he's constantly talking. And he's wanting us to listen. And what he says here is, my sheep hear my voice. So if you turn to chapter 10, let's take a look at Jesus as the door of the sheep. Let's just read those verses. Truly, truly, I say to you, the one who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. But the one who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep listen to his voice, and he calls to his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts all of his sheep outside, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. However, a stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. So Jesus told this figure of speech, but they didn't understand what the things which he was saying was all meant. So Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, he had to say it plain because they weren't getting it, I am the door of the sheep. All those who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came so that you may have life and that you may have it abundantly. Now, Jesus has given you a key to have life. Now, he's not talking to dead people. He's talking to people who are living and breathing, but he's saying, I came to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. How do I give it to you more abundantly? As you listen to me, I know a better way for you to live than you know how to live yourself. I know a better way for you to live, Jesus is saying, than you know how to live yourself. So listen to me. When I speak, Jesus says, it's very important. But my sheep hear that. You scribes and Pharisees, you aren't hearing what I'm saying. You're hearing what I'm saying, but you're not taking it to mean truth. You don't think I'm telling the truth. You think I'm the liar. I'm telling you that you're the liars, and you're the one trying to get people in a door, a different door. You're trying to get people in through works. You're trying to get people through the door, through the law. You're trying to tell them that they have to be good enough to get to heaven, and if they're not good enough, they're not going to make it. They're the thief. They're the robber. They're trying to steal you away from me. I am the good door because I love my sheep. I love my sheep so much that I'm going to lay down my life for my sheep so that they can enter the door. They don't have to be good enough because none of my sheep are really good enough, but I'm going to lay down my life so that they can come in anyway. No matter how bad you've gotten, no matter how rotten to the core you may have been, guess what? You're good enough for Jesus. Somebody should say amen about that. Because that's what it's all about. Jesus is the door to the sheep. We are the sheep, and he's the door to eternal life. He is the door to eternal life. Now, this is the third year of Jesus' ministry that he's talking. He's coming to the close of his third year. You know, Jesus only was minister on this earth for 3 years, from the age 30 to 33. In 3 years, Jesus turned this world upside down. 3 years is all it took for him to turn this world upside down. He's coming to the close of the third year. Up until this point, he's been very discreet about who he is. As a matter of fact, he said, don't tell anybody when he did major miracles, because he didn't want to get the word out too soon. He didn't want it to happen too quick, because he had to do everything in perfect timing. And everything is in perfect timing. It's amazing how the pieces of the puzzle of eternity fall together in place, and it seems like they fall together accidentally. But no, God's got a plan. And his plan is going to be worked out, and you can't mess up his plan. However, you can miss it if you don't listen. You got to listen. You got to allow Jesus to be a part of your life. You've got to help him to be your best friend. When you do things in life, you want to do something, and you want to talk to somebody about doing something, you want to share your life with them. That's what marriage is all about. That's what we do as we watch our kids grow up, and we can't wait to tell somebody, guess what my son did today? Guess what my grandson did? Guess what the first words he said were? It's amazing. You know how much joy there is in watching a tiny baby smile? That's what life's all about. It's interacting. It's relationship. And God wants us to have the kinds of relationships we have with each other that are loving relationships, that are kind relationships. If we hold on to that, we found out what life's all about. But you know, when Jesus fell in love with you, when he fell in love with me, he fell in love with us so deeply that he was willing to die for us. You know, that's what's kind of exciting about it. He says, I am the door to the sheep. There we were, finally getting to pick up on what he's trying to say. We were the sheep. We're finally hearing him. Even the disciples, as they walked alongside him, they weren't getting it. He was explaining to them all the way through the 3 years. He even told them what was going to happen. And they weren't getting it, even up to the right at the last minute. That's why they all fled when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. They weren't getting it. But they were thinking, oh, he's the Son of Man. Oh, he is the Messiah. But their idea of a Messiah was one who's going to take the throne and lead everybody out of all this bondage stuff. And they weren't going to have the Roman Empire anymore. Even the disciples didn't understand that the Messiah was to lay down his life for the sheep. So Jesus is telling them plainly now, I am the good shepherd. Notice that's what he says in verse 11. As he takes this analogy of the shepherd, he takes it a little bit further and says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and he leaves the sheep and flees. The wolf snatches him and scatters the flock. He flees because he is a hired hand and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also. And they will listen to my voice, and they will become one flock. with one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it back. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it back. This commandment I received from my Father. Listen to those words. Jesus is just laying out plainly, I'm going to lay down my life for my sheep. I am the good shepherd. I'm going to lay down my life for the sheep. Nobody's taking my life away from me. Don't you look at the people who are killing me, because nobody's taking my life from me. But I lay down my life. And I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to pick it back up. And watch. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to prove to you once and for all that I am He, the Messiah. Not only am I going to raise people from the dead like Lazarus, but I'm going to raise myself from the dead as the first fruits of all those who come after me. So that you too, when you die, can know that you can come back to life and enjoy all the fruits of eternity that I have in store for you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you can be too. That's our hope. That is our hope. So this is not an allegory. This is much more than an allegory. So let's press the details. The illustration is used to make two main points. Number one, Jesus is the door of the sheep pen. And number two, Jesus is the good shepherd of the door to the sheep pen. So now the door of the sheep illustration is expanded in another illustration from the world of shepherding. Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Okay, now the shepherd illustration is expanded by comparing the good shepherd to a bad shepherd. A good shepherd, he's the one who owns the sheep, and he's going to take care of them because he owns them. The bad shepherd, he's a hired hand. And when things come, he's going to say, I'm out of here. That wolf looks pretty dangerous, and I don't want to have any part of that wolf. So forget the sheep. I'm running for my own life. I'm going to take care of myself. The good shepherd doesn't do that. He actually stands in the door between the wolf and the sheep, guarding his sheep. That's what the door is. Okay, there's only one way to get to those sheep. It's through the door or through the gate. And Jesus says, I am the door. And I protect my sheep. I don't care what's going on in this disastrous world. Economic times are looking pretty bad this year. They're telling me that we could have a collapse of the American dollar at any time, because the world is being taken over by other currencies, which are becoming much stronger than our currency because we've spent ourselves out of money. We are trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars in debt. And it's getting to the point we can't even afford to pay the interest on the debt that we have right now. So our dollar is about to collapse. I don't know if anybody's told you that yet. And they said that as much as 1/4 of the stock market will be lost this year. So your money is not going to be your stable route in the future. Now, it may not happen this year. It may not happen until next year. It may not happen until year after next. I don't know when it's going to happen, but don't put your faith in the American dollar. Put your faith in Jesus. He is going to be our hope through economic times. Why? Because he's the door of the sheep. He is the one that's going to protect us from whatever is out there. And we need to do the same thing when it comes to our school, when it comes to who's going to be coming in and out and protecting us. Why do we have to put all these things on all these doors to lock the doors down? Can't we just pray and post angels all around this building and let God do the protection of this building? I said, you know, that's probably a pretty good idea. We need to protect the innocent little kitties and the sheep. We need to pray. Have you prayed for your school lately? Don't let your guard down. Keep in prayer. Let's allow the holy angels to be a part of not just protecting our school, but to protect our families. He's the door to the sheep. But you know, that's not a new story. It goes all the way through the Bible. Genesis chapter 49, verse 24. Yet his bow remained steady, and his strong arms were made agile by the hands of the mighty one, capital M there, of Jacob, by the name of the shepherd, the rock of Israel. This was a prophetic word that by the mighty one of Jacob, by the name of the shepherd, the rock of Israel, right in the 49th chapter of Genesis. Go to the 48th chapter, 15th verse. Then he blessed Joseph and said, the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, and the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day. Then you go to Isaiah 40, verse 11. He protects his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms. He carries them in the fold of his garment. He gently leads those that are nursing. Ezekiel 34:12. As a shepherd looks for his sheep on the day he is among his scattered flock, so I will look for my flock. I will rescue them all from all the places where they have been scattered on a cloudy and dark day. Then we'll jump over to Matthew. He says, and when he saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them because they were weary and worn out like sheep without a shepherd. But then probably the pinnacle of the Bible of understanding of shepherds happens in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's why the analogy of chapter 10 of John is so vital and powerful. He is the pinnacle of the whole Old Testament. And he's saying, I am the good shepherd. I am the one they've talked about from Genesis all the way through to the New Testament. Jesus was saying that he was the gate, and as the gate of the sheep pen, he is going to open up the gate only to those who hear his voice and are his sheep. He's not going to let those who are not his sheep in. Only those who listen to his voice. So are you listening to his voice? But you know, he's not just the shepherd. He is the good shepherd. Now if you want to multiply that by 10, you begin to recognize he's the stronger than just a shepherd. He's the good shepherd. And he goes even a little bit deeper than that. He goes from I am the good shepherd to he is a great shepherd. And he kind of catches us in four different avenues. First of all, Jesus, our Savior, he pursues us. He goes after us. It seems like you can't read this text and not think about Jesus' parable in Luke 15 about going after the one sheep. You remember that? There's the 99 and one sheep gets set apart. And he leaves the 99, he goes after the one that got separated. That's the good shepherd. When you start to go astray, he pursues you. He goes after you. Why? Because you belong to him. You walk through the gate. And that's why it's so important to get people to make decisions for Christ. Because even if they fall away, they belong to Jesus now, so Jesus is going to pursue them and bring them back into the fold. That's why it's so important what we're doing with camp, sending them to the summer camp. And they go to camp, and what do? They accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. They get baptized oftentimes. They come back here. They're on fire. Why are they on fire? Because they became a part of Jesus' life. Now, what happens when they go off to college and all of a sudden they begin to weigh and go further away? Well, I want you to know, you can trust Jesus. He's going to pursue them when they begin to walk away. And don't give up hope. I don't care which kids you're praying for. Don't give up hope. Even if things begin to grab them that are wrong, don't give up hope, because Jesus was pursuing them because they made the decision. You were there when they made that decision. And even if they go off the path, even to the point of destruction, until you die. And then he's going to hold your hand and then take you into his fold. Now, you may lose all your rewards by the way you've lived your life, but you're going to make it if you made a decision for Christ, because all you have to do to make it to the kingdom of God is to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you have to confess that with your mouth, and you will be saved. John 10:9-10. If you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth, you will be saved. And let me tell you, Jesus will pursue you. He will pursue you. So number one, Jesus pursues you. Number two, Jesus serves us. Now, when he got down and washed the disciples' feet was probably the best example of him serving us. Now, this is his decision. He is deciding to lay down his life for us. It was his decision to wash feet. Remember when he went to wash Peter's feet, what Peter said? Lord, you can't wash my feet. I should be washing your feet. He said, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you can have no part of me. You ever thought about that statement? If you don't let me wash your feet, this is Jesus, the Messiah, talking to one of his disciples. If you don't let me wash your feet, you can have no part of me. So what did Peter say? Then wash my hands and my face also. Now, washing the feet is sufficient, Peter. You're not understanding yet. I want you to know that I'm here to serve you. That's unbelievable for us. The creator of the universe is here to serve me. He's here to serve you. He's at your beck and call. He will be there for you as you go through life. He's going to pursue you. He's going to serve you. And third, Jesus is going to sacrifice himself on your behalf. He's going to actually lay down his life for you. It says, greater love has no man than this, than one, someone who would lay down his life for you. And he did it. He says, nobody's taking my life from me. When you see them coming and they see me taking me away, and when you see them hang me on a cross, don't you think that they're doing it? I'm allowing it. I'm allowing it for your sakes. I am going to be your sacrificial lamb. And then Jesus, our Savior, is our hope for eternal life. Jesus is the good shepherd. And the good shepherd, when you see a good shepherd, people follow him. And we follow him wherever he leads. Where he leads, I will follow. Where he leads, you are to follow. Just let him take the lead in your life. Let him follow you, and he will help you, okay? He will help you get through life. Now, the hope that we have is that this passage tells us that Jesus is the good shepherd, but he's the New Testament, goes a little bit further, and Hebrews 13, verse 20 and 21 says, now may the God of peace, who brought us from the dead, our Lord Jesus, brought us from the dead, our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, with the blood of the everlasting covenant, equip you with all that is good to do his will, walking in us what is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. Glory belongs to him forever and ever. Amen. Did you hear that now? It says, the great shepherd of the sheep with the blood of the everlasting covenant. So he's not just the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd of the sheep. The emphasis was shifted from the cross to the resurrection. He says, okay, I've taken you one step further. I've become your sacrifice to take you on to the other side of the cross, the other side of my sacrifice, and I am the resurrection. He certainly continues to be good, but the empty tomb declares him to be great. The empty tomb declares Jesus to be the great shepherd.